I want to begin with a word that Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." This was a prayer that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father about and for his disciples. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So sanctification means a process of being separated unto the Lord. I'm set apart for Him who is the Holy One. He's the one who sanctifies me. He separates me. He sets me apart for His plan and purpose. And He does this through the Word. And especially the prophetic Word or the Word of the cross. The cross separates me from this world. It's painful. It involves suffering in my flesh. But there's a joy that is set before me of fellowship with Jesus, of a resurrection life, of partaking in His glory. And this is Jesus' prayer for His disciples. In John 17 verse 16, He says of His disciples, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." They are separated from the world, as unto you. And His prayer is to keep them that way. Keep your children separate from the world for your glory. And that is my prayer for myself and even for all of us today. I want to speak for the benefit and encouragement of those who are taking baptism today. But I believe it will help all of us who are born again children of God. What I want to share is not about how to be born again or how to know that you are born again or why you should take baptism. All these are very good questions, and if you have those questions, I praise God for that. But I believe those who have chosen to take baptism, you know, have understood the answers to those questions. That's why they're taking baptism. Now, for all of us who are born again, as I meditated on these things, it was a challenge and encouragement to myself, and I believe it will be to all of us to remember what baptism really means, so that we can continue to grow along that path. One of the things I've heard from Brother Zach is about something that Jesus said seven times. Slightly differing words, but He said seven times in the Gospels. And that is really understood very little in most of, you know, Christendom. And I'll leave it to you to look up each of the seven references. This is in Practical Discipleship. There's a book by Brother Zach called Practical Discipleship. It's in chapter 1. We can look at one of those references. Luke chapter 9 verse 24. Luke chapter 9 verse 24. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." And in other translations, it sometimes says, "Whoever hates his life," or "whoever loves his life will lose it, but whoever hates his life will gain it unto life eternal." So again and again, Jesus spoke of losing our life, hating our life. And it is this self-life, this life that desires to do my own will. And Jesus said, if you love that self-life, you preserve it, you try and get your own way, you will lose your life. But if you are willing to hate that life and lose it for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will gain it unto life eternal. And that is what is pictured in baptism, that I am willing to surrender or lose myself. And because I believe that Jesus Christ will raise me up. Now I'm willing to go down into death in every area of my life from head to toe, or actually I should say from toe to head, because the head is the hard, you know, tough part. And to die to my self-life so that the Lord can raise me up by His power, give me a new life with Him. And it's the Word of God that acts together with the Spirit of God that puts to death this self-life. Where I understand that this self-life is going to lie, is going to cheat me from what is really precious, what is eternal, what is of eternal value. And it's the Word of God acting together with the Spirit of God that raises me up into a new life of fellowship with Jesus and with His other children, or brothers and sisters in Christ. So we can look at a wonderful picture of this in the Old Testament story. This is a story of Daniel, chapter 3. We can all turn there. Daniel chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. I believe you know this story. It's a true story. It's a historical incident that has been recorded for us. But it's a picture of what it means to lose our life and have fellowship with Jesus in our trials. So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they, you know, were commanded by the king. He said, I'll play all sorts of music. You know, whether it's in the world or it's in the church, so-called church, when, you know, the kings of this world want us to bow down to false gods, then they play all sorts of music. And he says, I'll play all sorts of music and then you bow down to these false gods. And it's an image that I have made. And they said, yeah, we don't need to think about this. Our God is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And we know that everybody else compromised, bowed down, you know, because they didn't bow down, the king gave them one more chance. We don't hear anything about Daniel. We believe that he was absent. I think perhaps the king sent him on a journey somewhere, you know, go do something because you'll spoil my plan. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to spoil the plan also. So Daniel wasn't there. And it was a test. But these three people, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they said, no, we are not going to bow down. Why? Because they knew the word of the Lord. They knew the command, you shall worship the Lord your God and Him alone shall you serve. You will not bow down to idols. Perhaps they knew the promise from 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. There's a beautiful word. Those who honor me, I will honor. And we know what happened after that. Right? This is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. In verse 25. Daniel chapter 3 verse 25. He says, look, I see four men loosed, walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth one is like a son of God or son of the gods. Brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus will do for us when we are willing to lay down our life in the trials of life. That He will stand with us and walk with us and give us victory. And it may not be through some miracle that is evident to the eyes of men, but from an eternal perspective, it is guaranteed. You know, many wonderful saints, men of God, have faced the fire, have faced lions, have gone singing to their death. And they have an eternal reward that we must see and long for by faith. That is the path that Jesus has called us. And we can see that this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 43 verse 1. We can turn there and take it as a word to ourselves. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Brothers and sisters, this is, you know, what we can take to heart for ourselves. That if I'm willing to stand apart from this world and lose any part or the whole of my life to obey His word in life's trials, then I will gain something of eternal life. And I will have fellowship with the Son of God, a sense of His presence. And I'll gain something of eternal value. And going back to Daniel, it says, this is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony in verse 28. He says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, His servants who delivered His servants who put their trust in Him and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God." They put their trust in Him, they yielded up their bodies so as to not serve or worship any idol except their own God. So, brothers and sisters, this is where we must, you know, judge ourselves. Are we willing to lose our life? And if we say that I am willing to lose my life, then there is a serious contradiction if I'm not willing to lose some popularity among men. If I say I'm willing to lose my life, then how can I say that, oh, but I care so much about what my friends think about me? If I say that I am willing to lose my life for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel, then how can I say I'm holding on to some money or some comfort? If we say, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, that I have yielded up my body, then how can I say I'm not willing to yield up a part of my body? How can I say that I'm not willing to yield up my eyes? Brothers and sisters, this is a simple message, but we have to take it to heart. This is what it means to go down into death in baptism and trust the Lord that He will raise us up. And we know that we don't have to fear. God will not test us beyond what we are able to bear. But this is the path. And he who is faithful in a little thing is faithful also in much. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego had seen, you know, Daniel's example, where he chose not to defile himself with food. And they stood with him. And they saw the deliverance of God. And God is working in our lives through our circumstances and through the word that He speaks to us to write this faith in our hearts. And He wants us to follow Jesus by going down to death in every area. Allow him to raise us up by the power of His resurrection life. And this happens when we take His word to heart and allow it to sanctify us. I want to turn to 1 Peter and chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow with respect to salvation." Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow with respect to salvation. I was challenged to examine my life and see if I still have that hunger for God's word, a longing for God's word. I hope that those who are taking baptism today have discovered that newfound hunger, longing for the pure milk of the word of God. But brothers and sisters, I don't want any of us who are born again, who are children of God, to lose it. Because we will always be children in the Lord's eyes. And that longing for the pure milk of the word of God must always be there in our hearts. And that is how we can grow with respect to salvation. Yeah, so we long for the milk of the word. We continue to obey God. We grow with respect to salvation. But I want to take a few steps, you know, back and see what goes along with this command to long for the pure milk of the word and who it's given to. So firstly, what goes along with it? Verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy and envy and slander." So these things go together. I long for the pure milk of the word and I put aside all of these things. We have to go slowly here, brothers and sisters. It really challenged me to think of each of these words, you know, slowly. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." If I long for the pure milk of the truth, that is only there in the Word of God, then I must turn away from lies, from the lies of the devil. So, what is malice? Malice is wishing evil for someone, for some human being. Who is this person? Someone for whom Jesus died. Someone about whom it is written that God so loves him or her that he gave his son. So when I have an attitude of ill will towards anyone, that attitude is a lie, it's a deception. And I'm lying in my attitude towards that person. How can I wish evil for anyone for whom Jesus died? What is deceit? Deceit, we know, is lying in my words. What is hypocrisy? It's lying in my actions. I do things that give people a wrong impression. What is envy? Envy means I look at somebody else and I imagine that they are better off than me for some reason. Now, if I'm a child of God and God the Father loves me as he loved Jesus, how is that possible? How is it possible that anyone in this world is better off than me? That is a lie. That is a lie of the devil. And I have to fight against these lies in my thoughts. What is slander? Slander is telling lies to hurt somebody. No. And God's primary motive is never to hurt anyone. God is love. So then my motive is wrong. If I am saying something. You know. Saying something that is not true. Even if I say something that is true and my primary motive is to hurt someone, then, you know, I am wrong. I am lying. I am not in line with the truth in my motives. So, God is love. He commands us to speak the truth in love. And if I have a longing for the truth of God and I want it to purify me, sanctify me, then automatically all of these lies, you know, will go out of my life. And I will have a hatred for them. And I want the pure milk of the word. We, you know, see in many places that the milk of the word is diluted. And there's a false comfort that you give people. You know, it's like milk and water, lies and truth together. No, I want that pure milk that makes me holy, that sanctifies me. Who is this command given to? It's given, you know, the verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, we know it starts with therefore. So whenever we see the words therefore, we have to look and see what it is there for or who it is there for. This is the word which was preached to you. What is the word that was preached to me? You have been born again, not of seed that is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. So it says, how are we born again? That the word of God was preached to us, and it's not just a word. It's not just something that I understood. No, the Holy Spirit took that word and it was like a seed of life planted inside me. And there's a new life inside of me. It's not a you know, seed, perishable seed, but it's an imperishable seed. And in verse 24, it contrasts the glory of the Son of God with the glory of all flesh. It says all flesh is like grass that withers and the flowers fade and die. All these seemingly attractive things that we see around us, rich, beautiful, talented people, successful people, all of these things, outside and separate from God, will fade and die. But Jesus alone has an everlasting glory. And it says in verse 21 that we are believers in God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory so that our faith and hope are in God. So we believe that what God did for Jesus, he will do for us. He will raise us up from the dead. And verses 15 and 16 say, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Verse 16, it is written, the word of God says, you shall be holy for I am holy. See, that is what it means to be born again, to turn away from the lies and the fading glory of our fleshly nature, and to long for that everlasting eternal glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think we've all heard from Brother Zach about how every day in creation, when the Lord, you know, spoke at the beginning of the world, how he spoke and the Spirit of God moved and there was a separation that God wanted to make. No, and this is how he wants to work in our lives as well. It's a wonderful picture. On the first day, there was a separation between light and darkness. Repentance is a picture of turning away from darkness, from hiding, from lying, and coming into spiritual light. Coming to Jesus as we are. But every day there is a picture. The next day is a picture of separation between heaven and earth. Just as we turn away from the darkness and come into the light, we have to turn away, repent of seeking after an earthly kingdom and turn towards a heavenly kingdom and turn towards heavenly riches. And the third day, we see a separation between sea and land. And the sea is a picture of unrest and wickedness. And land is a picture of peace and stability and fruitfulness. And brothers and sisters, I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We can just look at that. I think we may remember what happens on each of the days of creation. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the resurrection of the dead. Now, the first 3 days, I thought the picture was quite clear. After that, you know, it wasn't so clear. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41, it says, there's a glory of the sun, there's a glory of the moon, there's another glory of the stars, and star differs from star in glory. So on the fourth day, the Lord made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the Lord is saying that they're not all the same. You can go from glory to glory. There's a difference. Seek for the greater glory. And we know that, you know, Jesus is our example in all things. So there's a call here to press on. It's not everyone in heaven is going to have the same glory. We can share the glory of Jesus Christ. We can share in his nature. There is an upward calling there, a richness there. And then in verse 39, it says, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. And we know on the fifth and sixth day, these are the four, you know, categories of things that were made. You have the fish, you have the birds on the fifth day, and then on the sixth day you have the beasts, and then you have finally man who is made in the image of God. And this verse says that, you know, the flesh of all these is not the same. And all of this is in the context of verse 37, that there is a seed that is sown, and there is a raising to eternal life. And there also I see a call to be separated, to press on, to bear the perfect image of God. And if we examine ourselves, if we look at men and women around us, so-called believers, there are many, many who are just totally tangled in the ways of this world, like the fish in the sea. And we don't want to judge others, but we see the same tendencies in our flesh. You know, to call myself a believer, but I'm just like everybody else. I'm doing things, you know, the way they do it. And then you see that there are others, like the Pharisees, who, you know, it looks like they're birds, they're, you know, heavenly minded, they're soaring above, but they're looking down on everybody else. That's their nature, you know, and they're seeking their own. And we see different types of men, like various beasts, you know, some better than others. But if we are honest, brothers and sisters, it's a challenge for me and for us to take to heart that there are so few in whom we see, you know, the nature of Christ reflected. And I want to be such a person. And I want to encourage those who are taking baptism today, maybe those of you who have taken baptism in the past recently, or any of us who calls ourselves a child of God, have I gotten stuck? Have I stopped short of the glory of God? Have I stopped short of the upward call of Christ Jesus to truly reflect his image? I'm not talking about gifts or abilities. Brothers and sisters, we know that, you know, animals can do some very cool things, but they don't have the nature of a man. There's a huge difference. This, you know, and we know man with his machines can go into the sea deep under, and he flies in the sky. And I'm not talking about some, you know, AI accentuated show. I'm talking about our nature that God sees. He's looking for a bride who has his nature. It's not gifts, it's not talents. And I want to have this longing to press on towards the high calling, as Paul said, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and his resurrection life. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, we can look at that. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. And how do I do this? He says, this comes by faith in Christ. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. By faith in Christ, what does that faith produce in me? It says, I want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Yes, the word of God, I take it to heart, and I allow it to purify me and separate me from this world, and I have a longing for the glory of Jesus. And day by day, the Lord spoke, and he's still speaking. And he continues to speak to us, and I don't want to become sluggish. This was a challenge to my own heart. We must value and treasure the word of the Lord, especially the prophetic word that we receive in the church. It says in Revelation 19 verse 10, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The prophetic word will exalt Jesus. It will encourage us to follow in his footsteps. I thought of John the Apostle. He spoke of seeing the glory of Jesus. This is in John chapter 1 verse 14. It says, the word became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw his glory. Full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. And John says, of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. How did John receive of the fullness of Jesus? Because he heard the words of Jesus and followed them. There's a prophetic reference to Jesus in Psalm 45 verse 2. It speaks of Jesus. It says, grace is poured out upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. And sisters, we have to see that and kindle that longing in our hearts once again to hear these gracious words of Jesus Christ that can save us. I think about the incident in John 7 where the Pharisees, told the Roman soldiers, the officers, so these were senior soldiers, they said, go arrest Jesus and come. And the soldiers went, Roman soldiers. You can imagine them, toughened men of this world. They've seen all sorts of insubordination, crime, very disciplined people. They went, they listened to Jesus. They came back. The Pharisees asked them, what happened to you? Why did you come back empty-handed? They said, never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. Brothers and sisters, this is something we've experienced in the church when we hear genuine men of God speaking with the fire of God. We say, this is different. This is not human eloquence. This is not the gift of the gab. It's the grace of God poured out upon the lips of a man. And we must covet to hear and to speak that word. Paul talks about the gospel being the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes in it. He says, the righteousness of God is revealed in it from faith to faith. So Jesus is writing this faith in our hearts. And as we hear the words of God and treasure them, he writes this faith in our hearts. And this allows us to go further down into death, to self with Jesus and receive more of his grace. Because Jesus said, whatever the Lord I hear from my Father, that is what I speak. There is an upward calling, a glorious call. And we see that, the Pharisees didn't see it like that. They hardened their hearts, they looked down on others, they rejected the words of Jesus. John 7 verses 48-49. They said, you've also been led astray. The Pharisees, the rulers haven't believed in him. This crowd which does not know the law is accursed. Everybody, all these people, they don't know anything. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord save us from that attitude. Help us to humble ourselves and go down and see the glory of Jesus. I was thinking of this chorus. Maybe it's been a while since we sung it. From glory to glory, he's changing me. He He's changing me. He's changing me. His likeness and image to reflect in me the love of God shown to the world. Brothers and sisters, let's bow our heads in prayer.